Lord, I thank you that you are such a good God, and we just love the fact that you called yourself Father, and you want us to know you as Father. And I pray that as we go through this morning, Lord, that people will just get a greater touch from you and a greater realization of what your heart is for us. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been doing, started a series called Portraits of Father. And I just felt like the Lord wanted us to have a greater understanding, a greater picture of who our Papa God is. So let's just have a look at an amazing scripture, and that I'm just checking on something here. You're asking me if I'm recording. I'm not sure. Pause recording, stop recording. Yes, I must be. Okay, let's jump in with Psalm 103, verse 8. This is Old Testament, but I love this psalm. And from verse 8, it says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust." This is an amazing psalm that was written by David, who lived under the old covenant, but he had such a heart after God that I believe that he glimpsed what it was to live by grace. And so some of the statements that he makes are what we live in as new covenant believers. And it's really sad when you meet believers who have an Old Testament mentality, when you've got somebody like David who was in the Old Covenant, but he understood grace and he understood the mercy of God greater than some people do today. So I want to today to jump in at Luke 15, and it says from verse 1, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him." They loved being around Jesus. These were sinners. These were not good people. These were not the squeaky clean people. These were tax collectors and sinners. Verse 2 says, "And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Now, Pharisees, they saw themselves as the people of God, and they kept themselves clean. They kept themselves aloof from anybody who they thought could defile them. So when they said, "This man receives sinners," that was bad enough. But then they said, "He eats with them." And it was this whole thing to eat with somebody is to have that relationship, that intimacy with them, that friendship. And how could this be a man of God if he is eating with sinners? But Jesus came to reveal the heart of the Father. And the fact that he welcomed these people and allowed them to come close to him reveals what God is like. God does not keep us at a distance. And you meet believers today who still have, the old covenant mentality of, if you don't feel close to God, then guess who moved? Or, you know, well, your sin has separated you from God, and your iniquity means that he won't hear you. Friends, that's old covenant. That's not the heart of the Father. So after this happens, and I don't know whether it was a word of knowledge that Jesus had about the scribes and Pharisees complaining, or whether he just heard them talking. But what happens is he goes on and he starts to tell some stories or some parables. And we have three parables. They're parables of mercy. And we're going to look at two of them today. One is the parable of the lost sheep, and then the parable of the lost coin. The third one we'll look at next week. So let's jump in. Next verse. Verse 3 of Luke 15 says, "So he spoke this parable to them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" Jesus actually questions the heart of the people and says, "Hey, wouldn't you go after a sheep?" I mean, on Zoom Church here, we have heaps of people that are bringing their pussycats to church. I mean, who would have thought that we would have church with pussycats? We love our animals. We didn't make them. God made them. And when we think that God doesn't love and doesn't care and doesn't watch over people, we have very little understanding of the heart of God and how much he cares for us. If we're lost, Papa is looking for us. Verse 5, "And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." All of us actually need repentance. It's just the Pharisees thought that they didn't. They thought they were good enough. Now, the interesting thing about sheep is that sheep wander. I don't know how many of you have been on farms or around sheep much, but growing up as a kid on the farm, I knew that sheep needed fences. Now, in Bible times, they didn't have fences. They had shepherds that were with them. Because a sheep will eat and walk and walk and eat and eat and walk and walk and eat. And then it'll lift its head up and look around and like, well, where am I? And it's a perfect picture of what we are like as humans. We get so caught up with our daily life and what we're doing that we just wander away. We get busy, things happen, we're dealing with COVID, we're dealing with whatever, and our time with God gets less and less. We get stressed, and you know, we don't mean to end up feeling like we're far away from God, but we do. In Isaiah 53, it says, "We all like sheep have wandered astray." And David picks up this whole concept when he says, "Lord, find me, for I have gone astray." He knew what it was to be a shepherd. And he knew that if he didn't watch out for the sheep, that they'd just wander off somewhere. And Papa knows that that's our heart. That, you know, we just get distracted. We get busy. We're looking at the immediate and we can lose sight of the eternal. But Jesus wants us to know that the heart of the Father is that he's always watching out for us. He's always looking for us. And his attitude is never, "Oh, well, they wandered off. When they hit rock bottom, they'll come back." No, that's a hard attitude. That's not the heart of Father. And it says here that there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Now, obviously, that's talking about people getting saved, but it's also talking about when we turn our heart back to God, When we just find ourselves in the midst of a situation, go, oh Lord, sorry, I'm in such a mess. I just feel like I'm miles away from you. I don't know where I'm at. Don't know what I'm doing. Help me, Lord. That's repentance. That's turning our thoughts and our heart back to God. And all heaven rejoices and is full of joy when we just turn towards the Lord. I love in the Song of Solomon where it says, you know, one glance of your eye, my heart's undone. That's what Jesus is like. Every time that you just end up wandering and you look to him and you just call out to him, even just saying his name, he sees that and that overwhelms his heart. So don't think God does not care about you or that his eye is focused on all the people on the planet. He cares for every one of us. That was the first parable that Jesus told. And the second one is similar to it. So in verse 8 it says, or what woman having 10 silver coins if she loses one coin? Now we read that and we think, oh yeah, you know, coins that we've got in our purse or, you know, sitting somewhere. You know, if we lose one, would we really notice? What we fail to understand is that when he talked about 10 silver coins, he was talking about the gift that was given to a woman on her wedding day, where she was given a headdress that contained 10 silver coins. And the ones that he was speaking to would know immediately what Jesus was referring to. It was like a woman losing her wedding ring or engagement ring. I mean, if you lose your wedding ring or engagement ring, you look for it. You don't think, oh, well, I'll just get another one, I guess. No, it has value to you. And so these coins had incredible value. And I believe that was the first thing that Jesus communicated was, you know, we may feel like we're just part of a group and do I really matter? Yes, you do. Every one of us matters. So he goes on and he speaks and he says, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Now this parable, Jesus actually takes the whole picture and analogy a step further. Because when he was talking about the sheep just wander. They're thoughtless, they're careless. It's just us and our humanity ending up in places where we shouldn't end up. But the losing of the coin was through the carelessness of another. And these are the ones where people end up being hurt or abused or wounded because of somebody else's actions or their carelessness or their thoughtlessness. And if you notice in this parable, it's talking about looking carefully, lighting a lamp, sweeping a floor. This is a diligent, careful search for something that is of value and going, I will find this. And people who have been wounded and people who, you know, especially from childhood, who have been in abusive situations, sometimes they're harder to reach. And I believe that Jesus is communicating here in this parable that when somebody is lost because of the actions of another, that there is a diligence and there is a longing and there is a careful search, a going after and saying, I want to find this one. And that's the heart of Father towards those that have been wounded. In fact, there's a very sobering verse. It's only a couple of chapters later. It's in Luke 17. It says from verse 1, "Then he said to the disciples, 'It is impossible that no offences should come.'" It's like, you live on the planet. There's going to be hurt. "But woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." I'm sharing this so that you can get a glimpse of the heart of Father. It says that he's a father to the fatherless. And it grieves the heart of Father so much, especially when little ones are abused and wounded because they're defenseless. And God is a God of justice. Now, he tells us to forgive because we can't carry the weight of judgment. Only God can carry that weight. And if you try to carry it and you try to go after judgment and justice and get what's fair and what's right, that weight will destroy you. And when we forgive, what we do is that we take that offense, and we're not saying it's not important. If it wasn't important, we wouldn't need to forgive. Forgiveness is saying, hey, this was wrong, this was hurtful, and I give it to you because only you can carry this, and only you can bring true justice. And I forgive them so that I can release them and this situation into your hands. So let's come back to this parable now, and this picture of God looking for those that have been hurt and have been wounded, and going after these people, bringing a light. And Jesus is the light. And it says in verse 10, "Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Jesus actually phrases this a little bit different from the previous parable. The previous parable, he says, wow, there's rejoicing in heaven. And we get this picture of the angels and that celebrating, and yay, there's this big party in heaven. Here in verse 10, he's saying that there is, you know, in the presence of the angels of God, there is joy happening. He is making it very clear that this isn't the angels having a party. This is God himself celebrating and the angels watching. God celebrates you. He rejoices over you. If you've been in a hurtful, messed up, abusive, dysfunctional, disconnect situation, God wants to bring you back, and he himself celebrates bringing you back into that place of wholeness, that place of restoration, that place of connection. And I want to finish with Zephaniah 3:17. This is a beautiful verse. It says, "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." It's this amazing picture of Almighty God when it says he will rejoice over you with gladness. That word rejoice means to twirl, to dance, to leap for joy. It's a very active, exuberant picture of God celebrating you. That's his heart towards you. Then it says he will quiet you with his love. And it's this beautiful picture of being held by God. He will rejoice over you with singing. Do you know that there's a love song that Papa sings over you? I believe he wants you to hear that love song. Sometimes it's a song of joy and celebration. Other times it's like a lullaby. Papa sings and rejoices over you because you are precious to him. And as we finish here this morning, I'm going to invite you to ponder a couple of things. Number one, what does mercy look like? Because God is a God of mercy. Father God delights in mercy. Number two, what one of the two parables speaks to you the most and why? I asked the Lord about having some words of knowledge this morning, and I felt him say that he wanted people to respond out of their own heart, rather than me bring a word of knowledge and go, oh yeah, I think that's me. I felt like he's saying, I want people to look in their own heart this morning. And if you feel like you've just wandered off and you've got busy doing other things, Papa is looking for you. If you have been hurt or wounded in any way, Papa's searching for you carefully, because it takes a careful hand to be able to deal with wounds. And that's the hands of Papa God. So let's pray. Papa, I thank you that on this Father's Day, we can celebrate that you are our Father. You are a loving Father who heals wounds, releases from bondage, brings hope and joy and deliverance and restoration. And regardless of where we're at, you see us, you love us, and you want to bring us close. Lord, I pray for every person that's listening to this, that they will have a sense of your celebration of joy over them. Lord, that they'll even hear the song that you are singing over them at this time. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.